The first year is on the issue of teaching Torah to non-Jews. And then most year we're not going to cover all the different aspects of it, but at least some of the highlights that are involved. There's a very lengthy and excellent article in a book that came out many years ago, Contemporary Halakhic Problems, by Rabbi Bly. This is volume 2. I think he's up to either 5 or 6 by now. So there's a very lengthy article there. There's a somewhat shorter article in the RJJ Journal, the Journal of Halakhic Contemporary Society, and I think it was volume 26 maybe, early Bornstein. But we'll deal with some Rashi Prokem, and then if you have some questions, maybe a little preparatory at the end. Okay. Start with source number 1. Everybody has. Everybody doesn't have. Tells us. Okay. The Gemara Sanhedrin says as follows. Vamar Rabbi Yochanan. Obit Kachavim she'osek ba'Torah, chayav nisa. When Obit Kachavim is involved in learning Torah, sees chayav nisa. Shenamar, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, mo rasha. And you know the end of the pasuk, of course. But the Gemara emphasizes the word lanu. Torah tiba lanu Moshe Marasha. Lanu Marasha is an inheritance for us. Gemalahem. And not for non-Jew. So the Gemara asks, so why isn't it included in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noah? As we know, the seven Mitzvahs B'nai Noah means that they're not allowed to do it. So it should be eight Mitzvahs B'nai Noah. Should be in the assist to teach Torah to non-Jews. Why isn't it mentioned? So the Gemara answers as follows. There are two ways to learn the word Morasha. There's a Pshat and there's a Drash. If you learn it Pshat, Mandam and Morasha is an inheritance. So it's an inheritance for us, and they take it, Mitzal Kol Gozala. So they're over on Zayla. It's given over to Jews, so something that belongs to me, that someone else takes, that's Zayla. So it's given over to the Jewish people, and a guy comes along and he takes the Torah, he violates Kessel. Kessel is one of the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. They already have, it's already mentioned. Uman da'amar ma'orasa, and one who learns the word ma'orasa pidrash, as if it said ma'orasa, as if it said betrothed. So then, there's another issue involved, because if the Torah is betrothed to us, as if we are married to the Torah, and the non-Jew comes along and takes it, Azino Kinara Amorasa the Biskila. So he's violating as if it were Iliarayo. Torah is betrothed to us, and someone comes along. Someone takes a woman who's betrothed to Reuven, and he takes it for himself. So he violates Gilarayo. So one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So it's already included. That's a clear answer. It's a subcategory of one of the two Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Either Gzela or Gilarayo. Obviously, in a sense of drash. So the Gemara challenges the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and says it doesn't seem to be true that a guy can't learn Torah. Meisvei, Hayu Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Ovei Kochavim Va'Oseg BaTorah Shu Kekohen Gadol. How do we know that even a non-Jew who is Oseg BaTorah has a status as if a Kohen Gadol? Believe you can do Avodah and Beit HaMikdash. But it's considered a very important activity like a Kohen Gadol. Shenemar asher yaase osam ha'adam v'chay b'hem. That the Adam does it and he lives by it. Kohanim, that's the end of the passage. Kohanim levim v'Yisrael lo namar. It doesn't say asher yaase osam ha'kohen alevi ha'Yisrael. Ela ha'adam. Who's Adam? Everybody's Adam. So you see from the Braisa, quoting Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Yochanan seems to be incorrect, that a guy who learns Torah is doing a very positive thing. So the Gemara answers, Hasam b'sheva mitzvot bidru. Depends what part of Torah he's involved in. If a guy is sitting and learning sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, then he's like a Kohen Gadol. Then it's like the statement, then it's like the statement of Rabbi Meir, that Arayek Kohen Gadol is doing an extremely positive thing. On the other hand, if the guy is sitting around and learning parts of Torah that are not Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, something that's not related to what he needs to do, then not only is he not doing something positive, he's violating an Isser, and he's chayiv nis. That's the Gemara's conclusion. The Rambam, when he quotes this, in source number 2, writes, Goy sh'asak b'Torah chayiv nisa. Lo yasok ela b'sheva mitzvot shelahen b'vat. The only thing he's allowed to learn is the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. And then, skipping to the end of the Rambam, the second bracket, Umodin also, and if you see a Goy Leli Torah that's not Sheva Mitzvot, we have to inform him Shehu Chayiv Nisa al Zeh. You have to tell him that he's Chayiv Nisa. Abal ain't no Neharat, but he's not killed. Now the Rambam writes halachos even the time of the Sanhedrin. He's this is Zilchos Malachim when they were kings, the Rambam is Zilchos Sanhedrin. So if he's Chayiv Nisa, why aren't you killing him? Chayiv Nisa, we're not killing you. Why not? Rambam doesn't say if you see him a Chalos Shabbos b'Fahetya and you give him a proper warning and he's Chayiv Stila. Rambam says we don't kill him, we do kill him. If there was a Sanhedrin, all the criteria were met. That to me, the Rambam says we don't kill him. So the Kesef Mishnah, right below, explains, Kol Enach Naminabu Chayiv Nisa, all these things that he's mentioning, that he's Chayiv Nisa, Hainu Chiv Nisa La Shamayim. What kind of Nisa is he chayav? Nisa b'day Shamayim. It's not Nisa Bezdin. There's Nisa b'day Shamayim. There's Nisa Bezdin. Right? Ba'alva v'aleinu neharat. It means Bezdin doesn't kill him. It's chayav Nisa b'day Shamayim. We all know that from on Yom Kippur davening, when we say at the end of the long alchay, we say al-chatom shon chayvim aleim ola v'chatas v'kovern ola v'yorei v'ashon tolo, and then we say al-chayvim v'shon Nisa b'day Shamayim. Then we get the Karek, then we get the Skilu Seif Ha'erek V'chenet. So there's Nisa Zezdin and there's Nisa B'day Shamayim. He's Chayiv Nisa B'day Shamayim. So one question that Rishonim and Achronim deal with is, why? What's so terrible if a guy studies Torah, what's so horrible? Okay, I understand this. Halacha that the Jews shouldn't study about this kachon. Right? So why does someone regard study Torah? Is that it? Yeah. That we will get to see. Yeah, sorry.
What about like Christians,
like someone who reads, they're not really studying their own version. We'll get to that as well. But answer my question. What's so terrible if let's take it literally, an Obed Kochot. What's so terrible if an idol worshiper studies Torah? It's true. Damn it. What's so bad about it? Okay, so maybe Adarabba. On the contrary, maybe that's a good reason for him to study Torah. Well, actually, the Isser of Avodah Kochot is part of Sheven Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So that already has to. What's so terrible if he learns about Shabbos? So what's so terrible if he learns about Kashrus? So what's so terrible if he learns about, I don't know, Hafreshus Trumos or Maizim? What would be so terrible? What would be so terrible? So he might twist it and mean the wrong thing. Interesting. Okay. You could also twist it, but he's high at least in Talmud Torah.
Yeah, it's all my mouth
because they thought we were going to twist it. Okay. So, Rishonim suggests a number of different approaches. One approach is basically based on the Gemara we just mentioned. Take the drasha, Torah Tivalano Morasha, as if it says Ma'orasa. It says betrothed. That means that our relationship with Torah is a very intimate relationship. It's a very unique relationship, and it's a very intimate relationship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah as something to create this intimate relationship. To start having other people who aren't involved, people who are not part of Am Yisrael, involved in Torah, is violating the intimacy of this relationship. It's violating the uniqueness of the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. He gave it only to us. And to a certain extent, it defines our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined through Torah. Kutsh Baruch Hu Yisrael V'Araisa Chazut. It's from the Zohar. Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah are one. That defines our relationship. for someone who's not part of that relationship to be involved in Torah is violating that relationship. That's one suggestion that's mentioned. Yeah.
I think maybe like on a national level it makes sense, but on an individual level, it doesn't really. Me sitting here learning Torah doesn't involve anybody else. It doesn't like.
Correct, but take the one and multiply it many times.
Well, but then you don't really feel it. I'm saying.
We don't. Listen, some non-Jew over there is studying Torah. I don't feel. I don't even know that it's happening. Right? I don't feel it. But the Torah is meant to be something that defines our intimate relationship. It's not meant for him. It's not meant for him. There's a second reason Meiri suggests. It's a very practical reason. He suggested if a non-Jew became very learned in Torah, he could be so learned that what might happen? What? No, not so much. No, that wouldn't be so bad. He said he might try to pass himself off as a Jew. But he's really not. He'll start doing all the things. He knows exactly what to do. And that could be very dangerous. That could be very dangerous because he can then influence other people. I mean, one of the most dangerous groups of Christians around there are the Jews for Jesus people. You know, sometimes they walk around with a yarmulke on their head and the sitters hanging out with chelas, and you know, they talk like as if they know everything. You think that really the guy is, really legitimate. See, a lot of Christians will learn a lot about Torah, and they might come and they might start passing themselves off as Jews. That's how the Meiri understands that it was concerned about that. It might be, yeah. So he's lying on Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So based on the Gemara, one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach is to tell him that he shouldn't learn Torah. It's a subcategory of Gezel. You can't steal money and you can't steal our Torah. The third possibility, not really mentioned in this context, but could be something that you may have alluded to. We'll come up with that. That comes up maybe in the next piece. We'll see soon. Okay, so the guy, the non-Jew, is not allowed to learn Torah. Source number 3. Zama Rabbi Yami. Ain't most in Divrei Torah lo betochavim. You can't teach Divrei Torah to a non-Jew. Shinemar lo asachem l'chol goy u'mishpatim bal yidarum. Hallelujah. The pasuk, we all say at the end of Hallelujah. The pasuk says, "Magid the verb liyakov chukav u'mishpat of Israel." Or else, "Achen l'chol goy," because God doesn't do that with any other nation. He doesn't teach that. Mishpatim bal yidum, and you should let them know. So you're not allowed to teach goy. So there's a separate isur that Rabbi Yami mentioned. In other words, there's an isur for goy to learn, and there's an isur for a Jew to teach. Yeah. First of all, you can never tell from the text of our Gemara what the original text was when it refers to a non-Jew. Especially in Christian countries, throughout the Middle Ages, there was tremendous censorship. And at different times, we were allowed to use only certain terms to refer to non-Jews. So sometimes Obey Kalkazim was acceptable, sometimes Goy was acceptable, sometimes Min was acceptable, sometimes Kuti was the only thing acceptable. And you'll sometimes see in Rishonim that according to the same Gemara, each one's using a different description, different word, describing the non-Jews. So we don't really know what the original text said. That's the first thing. Even if the original text said, "Ovei Kochavim," so it's interesting. The Meiri claims that the issue to teach non-Jews and Jews and Torah is only talking about real, real idol worshippers. But if they're non-Jews or a monotheist, he says it's a different story. Most Rishonim, in fact, the older Rishonim, don't accept this Meiri over here, but he would be Medayik in the Lashon of Kochav. But it's very hard for us to know really what the original term was. Okay, yeah, we know. Okay, we're going to get to the parameters of this. But you're not allowed to teach a non-Jew. Comes along Tosfos in source number 4 and says, that the statement of Rabbi Ami seems to be totally superfluous. There's no need to tell me a special Isser, learn from a special pasuk, not to teach non-Jews Torah. Why not? Because if it's also for a non-Jew to learn Torah, then automatically, what's it going to be also for me to do? Why? And, so what's wrong with me teaching him? What would I be doing wrong? Exactly. The least naive of Mechshol. I am not allowed to assist anybody from doing an Aveira. So if a non-Jew, if it's an Aveira for a non-Jew to learn Torah, then obviously a Jew can't teach the non-Jew Torah, because he would be violating the least naive of Mechshol. Just like if it's also for a non-Jew to eat Aver Min HaChai. So a Jew can't pass over an Aver Min HaChai to a non-Jew and say, here, have a feast. Because it's up to him to eat, it's up to me to help them. So it's up to him to learn. It's automatic. What's Rabbi Ami telling us? And he quotes a special pulsing. It's obvious. Let's say he's a little bit of a mess. Take a look at source number 4. Pulsing says, they must have been told about the Kachavim, are you kosher la harava ber mechonon? Typically, we should learn it, all the Kachavim, all the Kachavim, all the Kachavim, all the That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Kedamra Paragdal of Nisa. Nisa. All the Kachavim, all the Kachavim, all the Kachavim, all the Oh, but I'm a savior, I'll keep a mixture. That's what Rabbi Amish said. When in the special pasuk? Ah, the chitem of the sheva mitzvot bidu deno chayim mitzvah kedoma v'shaas. Awesome. If you're going to come along and tell me no, that it's not only just if we're going to learn Torah. A goy is allowed to learn sheva mitzvot. Sheva mitzvot deno he's allowed to learn. So I wouldn't violate the list either if I taught him that. Tosa says, if he's allowed to learn it, then says Tosa, "V'ham mitzvah ikal amosam lahem." The nafkalam mi'aykar sheyaseh adam osam adam v'chay b'hem. If it's not usher for going to learn zayin mitzvah today Noah, then there's no easter. Not only is there no easter of lis neiva losite mishal, there's no easter of mishpatim v'agidol. I'm allowed to teach a guy Shevin. I'm allowed to teach a guy Shevin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I'm like, how am I supposed to know what to do? So either it's also for the guy and it should be to learn, in which case Velis Neiver covers it, or it's mutter for the guy to learn, in which case it's mutter for me to teach him. So what's Rabbi Ami talking about? So Tosfos answers based on a very standard thing that if you ever learned anything about Velis Neiver, the classic case of Velis Neiver that the Gemara talks about is regarding a nazir, the classic. And the nazir is not allowed to drink wine. So the Gemara says as follows. If the nazir is on one side of a river, and I'm on the other side of the river, and I have a bottle of wine, and the nazir says, toss it to me, or I voluntarily toss it to the nazir, I violated the lis neiva losite mishal. Why did I set up the case that we're on opposite sides of the river? Because if I would toss him the bottle of wine, he would be up to get. But the Gemara said, if we're on the same side of the river, and the guy, I'm sitting over here, and Stacy says, pass me the safety's a nazir. And Stacy says, pass me the wine, and I give it to her, I don't violate the listening either. Why not? Because she could have gotten it herself. Says also, what happens if there's a learned guy around? There's some guy who learns Tosfos. And he gives lessons in Tosfos. And a different guy comes over to me and says, teach me Tosfos. Would I be violating the list neighbor of Sita Nisha? No, why not? Because if I don't teach it, the other guy will teach it. So does that mean that I'm allowed to teach it? Now comes the Lord Rabbi Yami and he says that even when there's no belief neiver, even when belief neiver doesn't apply because there's another goy out there who's going to teach it, still there's a separate isa lo'asa chelucho goy mishpatim bal yidou. And somebody more modern day achronim writes that nowadays there's probably no isa of belief neiver. Why? well, even before the internet, there's so many svarim in English translation in explaining all sorts of things that are so readily available for anybody who wants to, that any non-Jew who wants to know, and now even with the internet, any non-Jew who wants to know anything about Judaism can find almost anything. He wants to learn Daf Yomi, so he can get the Schottenstein edition of the Daf Yomi. I mean, he can do everything. Therefore, the Lishneiver probably wouldn't apply nowadays, but the separate Issa that Rabbi Ami quotes, of Lohastach Enel Kol Gai, Mishpatim Ba'yidum, that Issa still applies. Okay. Now, yeah. Okay. So, now that we got to the Issa, now that this is the Issa stage, I'm going to have to start the Hatter stage. In other words, from the Gemara here, it seems that you can't teach Torah to a non-Jew. Everything seems to be off-limits. And if a non-Jew says, why are you wearing that beanie on your head? Or why, if it's 95 degrees outside, are you wearing, you know, the sleeves down to here and the thing up to there and whatever it is? So, that's got to say, sorry, I can't tell you. And I'm like, So, what's the thing? So let's start with Heter number one. Shul Tegi Dorit, source number five. Everything okay? You just lost you blew your top. Okay. So Shul Tegi Dorit, the upper left says as follows. Lashon Riyad, the parak dalet misos, Ovi Kochavim, and through Yitzchok, as the Ruah, Ovi Kochavim, she'osek, batora chayev, she'nem, batora tziva lana, Moshe, morasha, lanu, v'lo lahem. Sarenu b'chlal gezel, as we saw in the Gemara, shu gozel Yerushateinu. He's stealing our inheritance. V'nira ve'einai, she'israel ha'melamdo Torah, harenu over al v'lisneiva, violating the lisneiva. V'lo nemar kol zeh, ele b'torahs Moshe u'mitzvoteha, she'nitzkabu ben Yisrael. This whole Yisrael only involves Torah Moshe, in Chumash and Mitzvah. Aval Nevi'im Uktuvim. That's a lot of it. Two-thirds of Tanakh. I don't know by words, but at least by section. Aval Nevi'im Uktuvim, Nira Ve'inai, Shemuter Lelamdo, Sheroa Behem Nechamot Ha'amurim LeYisrael, all the prophetic constellations that were told to Bnei Yisrael, which tshuvot shalawi lahamin lapikorsin, to understand, the apikorsin should understand what's going on, the Zayim should understand, you know, even if Bnei Yisrael are not doing so well nowadays, you have the Nevus and Yishayot, the days will become better, etc. By they can, Efshah Shiyashlim Darko. And maybe the guy will become a better person because of this. Would he understand? You know, you should beat up the Jews, or you have to believe in God, etc. Even God's seven mitzvot. But he has to understand a lot about what goes on in the world and how the Bracha runs the world, so therefore you can teach him the Nevi'im Uktuvim. I guess, I don't know. You can teach him in the Sefer Iyyob, because maybe he'll understand more about Skara, about the Tzadik Viralo. If you can understand Sefer Iyyob, you can teach him about the Nevuos and Zariyo, about Moshe's level, what's going to be, and you can teach him maybe about Tehillim, about how persons should relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shiros, the Shizbachos, and then David HaMelech, trials and tribulations. Like all of that. All of that. That's a huge section. That's the Shul Tegi Dorit. Okay. The Shuras from Malamid Lahoel, David Tzvi Hatzin. Shul Tegi Dorit was written from the Rav Yitzchok Azur, it was from the time of the Rishonim, many, many centuries ago. The Malamid Lahoel, David Tzvi Hatzin, was the early 20th century. And he writes like this. Hinei, this is verse 6. Lefi da'at bal yad Eliyahu, mutar l'mon amagoy sheva mitzvos shalom. Da'ayno avodazara, gili arayos, shichos damim, ever menachai, birkas Hashem. Birkas Hashem is not cursing Hashem. We don't use that term. We use the euphemism. Geneva v'gezel, that's one. The chol abizrayu, and anything that's connected to it, the geneva and gezela, damages little things, but the dinim. And dinim see them as a machlokas. It might be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam seems to see them as limited to the fact that the Bnei Noach have to judge other Bnei Noach if they violate the other six Sheva Mitzvah. In other words, the seventh Mitzvah is judge them if they violate the other six. The Ramban learns that Dina means no, a whole system of law and order. You have to have a whole penal code about Shomrim and Gnevos and Zelos and Nezek and you know, all sorts of things that society should run properly. And then he writes, Vashul begibarim b'shem yivitzva kazurua kazamizel v'shom and v'yim uktuv v'nir b'enai shemutza v'lamda shirav em d'chama samrum v'yisrael ad kam v'shomim. If you can teach them the v'yim uktuv, says the Malamed Lahoril, v'al pi ze nira li shigam si purei torasenu hakdo shemutza v'lamda k'dei shiir amas v'nisim shasa ha'shem v'yisrael u'k'dei shiyakir v'ruato v'gad lo shalai kadosh baruch hu v'yim nam e'avo v'zara shirisham v'shem v'nisim v'nei noah. He said, you can start doing them all Bible stories. You can't start teaching them all the halakhos, I guess, of Shabbos, or Kashrus, or Tuma Vitara, or any kind of, or in Miklat. I mean, you can't teach them all the halakhos, the mitzvahs. But the stories, very important. They have to believe that it's not in the Kodesh, which means you can teach them basically all the sacred rashis, minus the halachas of Brit Mila and Gidan Asher. Woohoo, because we've got five or not. And then you can teach them a lot of Shmos, at least the beginning parts of Shmos, not the Mishkan, not Mishpatim, but maybe in Anayis. Okay, so I guess you have to skip a little bit of Parshas Bo, we talked about Karban Pesach, but the Shmos, the Be'era, and parts of Bo, and parts of the Shala, I think you can teach that. And then you get, mostly, you'll get the Chumash Bamidbar. You can teach them about, Misonim, and maybe the Chetam Eradlim, and Korach, and there's a lot to talk about. You do an awful lot. So says the Malamed Lahoril. Yes.
You know
what
I'm talking about, like the actual stories?
In general, yes. In fact, even when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, there's a discussion amongst the Achronim, how much can I teach it to them B'iyun? And many Achronim say that I'm allowed to teach them basically the basics, what they need to know. Not to start teaching them the Chakiris and Reb Chaim about Gneva and Gezela, etc., even on things. Right. Within the stories, I guess you could teach them what, based on what Rav Zevi Yochanan is saying, is things that they could be makir gvuras of a gadol. So I tell this book, well, if it's helpful, you could teach them that as well. That's what it would seem. Okay. So we have now Nach. Then Rav Zevi Yochanan adds in the stories some Torah. The Nitzvah and Nature Zavar takes it one step further. The source number 6. And this answers one of the questions asked earlier. This is in a tziv, and he writes, "Afilu lilmo Torah shebichtav l'nachri ein isur." You can teach all of Torah shebichtav. Truma to tzave, the Mishkan, and Truma v'tara, and Achri Noz, Kedosh, and Emor, Babacher, everything. You can teach all Torah shebichtav. What's his proof? Hashem tiva li Yehoshua lichtal v'atar b'shivim lashon b'shulim asalda. That's when they crossed the Yarden, the Agrizim and Arev only had to be making them his Be'ah. So he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that in Tom Yehoshua, Yehoshua takes in, that they have to write the Torah b'shivim lashon. He's the Derech Neis that he can write all the Torah in 70 languages. Why 70 languages? Neis also didn't speak 70 languages. Obviously, who was before? The Nazus, which means we can teach Torah Shabbatah. They didn't write Torah Shabbatah, Torah Shabbatah. They wrote that from the Nazus. Obviously, we can teach Torah Shabbatah, all of Torah Shabbatah. From Gracious to Leinei Kol Yisrael, at the end of Chumash Devarim, the whole thing you can teach the Nazus. Alright, so what Parsha, so what can you teach? He says, U'perish U'mishpatim V'yidah'um. Rabbi Ami is saying, U'dine Manil Man Mechukei HaTorah Shinidrashes Behem. to start teaching them all sorts of halachos, the eon, what we would learn out, that you can't teach them. But whenever it says, pshuto shel mikra, that you can teach them. You're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos, a pig is in his machalos asuros, pshat and pasuk, you can teach them. That's Mishnah. That's an interesting rise. In source number 8, Rav Avadia Yosef quotes from earlier sources as well, that the raya is not a raya. The raya that Yeshua wrote out, Kol HaTorah Kula, I suppose in Kol HaTorah Shebukta, in 70 languages is no raya. Why not? Certainly, towards the second half of source number 8, he writes, for 3-4 lines. The Hiskin, the Teirut Sheni, Shadavka La Goyin Shalotos Mat, Hucha Atola. Kide Shaloya Lan Pisco Pelom, Aloha Yalon Mehechan Luma. Ula Ola Menchilik Bezeb, Metosha Bapam, Metosha Bapam, the whole Afia Shabian, Afia Shabian Laosa.
He says, no, he says, it was only imagination, it was the Horat Shah, the one time saying that the Goyin shouldn't come along and complain, we never knew about it, we didn't know, we didn't this, we didn't that. Here it is, we wrote it out once. You rejected it, you weren't interested, sorry, you don't do it again. It was the one time Hora'at Shah, exception to the rule, to teach non-Jews. Otherwise, there's no inherent distinction between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. Yeah.
Isn't it that, like, it's written out there, like,
when you write it, it's out there? Correct, and that lasted for I don't know how long, and it was meant to last for a while, and it was meant presumably for that generation, maybe another generation, I don't know how long it was there. But then, that's it. Because the Bible gave them the opportunity, they wanted to learn, fine, after that, they can. Okay. So, the Esau Bishul Tidigorim is not the Malamik Baha'u lives on stories from Chodesh, the Nitzvini has gone all the Tosha Mechtam, and there are those who reject the Nitzvini. Now, of course, number 9, a famous story. Shub Matze Benach Riecha, Shahaya Ober Acharei Beit HaMedrash. There was another story. Lots of famous stories in this book. There was an Nazir who was passing by Beit HaMedrash. He was walking down the Jara. B'shava Kol Sofer, Shahaya Ober Be'im Adonim Asher Yatsu Chosh Beifah. He heard somebody who was writing and who was reading and saying out loud, these are the begotten that they should make. Which are these? Begotten Chosh and Beifel, these of course are the begotten of Kargol. Amar Alon Olamisi, he stopped and he asked who these for. He said, Amar Alon Olamisi, this is good Kargol. Isn't there some very nice garments there? Chosh and Beifel, the meal. So, and very nice stuff. I'm going to go to the Lachi Vashma, but it's got the Shushi Yasimani, Kohen Gadol. Okay, I don't wear those things. So I'll go, I think you've got to be Jewish to be a Kohen Gadol. Can't be non-Jew and be a Kohen Gadol. So I'll go be the guy, and then they'll make me Kohen Gadol. That'll be good. But with me, Shabbat, I'm going to make him an answer to this many Kohen Gadol. So Dr. Obama said, he can should be other. So he had some utensils, leave his hand, he pushed them out the door, and he was a shugan. The shugan of God wants to become quite, he converted to become quite dull, he's crazy. Pushed him out the door. Bala Smei Hillel, he comes before Hillel, guide him. So Hillel was Megayim, let's see what that means. Amalei, Klum Amid and Melech Amalishi Odeh, Tachsisei Malchus, he says, but I want you to know. Many of the Chachamim explain that he doesn't mean that he actually converted him, he's getting ready to convert him. So he agreed to work on it. But he said, but after that, you can't be a king unless you know what to do, what he needs to do. So let him up, that's the same alpha. So go learn what a Kohen Gadol, go learn all about what a Kohen Gadol needs to do and doesn't need to do. Fine, that's just great, I'm going to be a Kohen Gadol, he's got to learn all the rules and regulations. Allah Bikara Kevin Shihia Vahazara Kara Yuma. Then he gets to the passage that says, a stranger who's not from the Kuruna, if he does the Avoda, he's Chayav Misa. Amalei Mitra Zal Nina Emma. Who are we talking about? Amalek, you are David Melech Yisrael.
David Melech?
David Melech is not a Kohen. Not the also Ger Kabakhobe Vatma. The Ger said to himself, you might have told Shinikru Banim Mamakam in Mito Havasha, Bamkar Land, Beni Bechor Yisrael, Sivalein Zarkar Yumas. Somebody who's naturally Jewish, born into the Jewish nation, and because of all of that, he's Beni Bechor Yisrael, but he can't be a Kohen Gadol unless he's born from Tzikahuna. Gera Kal Shabbat Makhlo Vitamila Chaskapa Vakapa Oizei to a Gita, me a conqueror. What's going to be with me? So, he gave up his goal of beginning Kohen Gadol. So the Maharsha asks, right underneath, Ve'im Maharsha, he doesn't ask, he says, don't ask. The way he asks the question is, don't ask the following question. Ve'im Maharsha, we can't hang from the Torah, the composition is Gaia. I was allowed to teach him. The assumption here is that Himmel taught him before he was Maharsha. He agreed to be Maharsha him, but he first told him to go learn. So how can you teach a convert, a potential convert? That's all. But he's prepared to have a misa. Don't be kachama. Don't be kachama. How did he do such? He said, "Yeshlama halacha kedem shavam gayer shorei lulmotov." You remember yourself. If a non-Jew comes and wants to be megayer, so what you have to do? Then you have to teach him. Now, not everybody uses the Mashal. I think the Kiva Eger says, no, that Hillel, Baruch HaKodesh, knew that he was going to accept Shem Mitzvah, so not that he would accept Torah, and he was actually regarding the Torah for the Torah. But that's not how we Mahalocha Lamaisa. He passed very clearly that we, if somebody's going to convert, we can't convert somebody who doesn't know a basic Judaism. And what are you going to do? You're going to convert him on a Thursday. And the Shabbos is going to come along. What's going to happen? It's going to be a whole Shabbos all over the place. And you have this can you teach him? He'll convert and then he'll go to McDonald's. No one ever told him he can't eat a cheeseburger. They got straight meat there. Hang on. So, obviously, we boxing like this is my shop, that somebody's going to convert. So, then you can teach him. The Achronim do deal with the question of how sincere is his desire to convert, and how certain we need to be that he's going to convert, and how soon of a process is going to be. But the basic idea is that you're allowed to teach somebody who's sincerely planning to convert, you're allowed to teach them. I remember, this was back a number of years ago, I used to teach a little bit in the Midrash of Rachel, which is not far from here. And the Midrash of Rachel is for older women, and there's people in the middle of college, post-college, graduate school, they are there, and they don't necessarily all come, there's not a beginning of the semester, there is a beginning of the semester and end of the semester, but it's in and out, sometimes people come for a whole semester, sometimes for longer, sometimes people come for a few weeks. So, and then there was somebody who came into the class, and the person, my name, fine, and I'm teaching a couple of days, and she raised her hand, and she said, I'm starting to convert, and I wanted to ask you. Oh, okay. That the school knew that she was starting to convert, but she was already in the process. One time they had a big, 1 year they got themselves messed up. There was somebody who, whatever the name was, Goldberg or whatever it is, and she came and recommended, etc. When they got there, they found out that the father was Goldberg, but the mother wasn't Jewish. And she never converted. She was interested in learning a lot. She never converted. And she really wasn't interested in converting. And they were sort of stuck. It was a bit of a problem. Just happy with what she is, you know, according to Reform Judaism, patrilineal descent is fine, you know, so she considered herself Jewish, and so they right after that, they changed the questionnaire for applying students. They realized what was at stake, this other people. Your mother Jewish, your father Jewish, your this Jewish, and they gave me certain questions. The girl's name is Goldberg, and she came from somewhere, you know, so they figured it was a mistake. So they sort of stopped.
Okay. Anyway, let's observe the potential content. Now, source number 10, the Sri Deish really takes it one step further. The Chet on the Yir Yir Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of Allah, because of Shema Nof Yosef Vatoro, the Shem Tiyu Vitzvo, the Kol Shekenit Chakirato Ladad Lavoa Tachlit Shlemus Sarasenu, Ashi Inyin Sehen the Shlema Yatra V'Yizdayir Musa. The Miri writes that if they, like, if they see the beauty of Torah, they'll be Megayah, you can teach it to them. Says the Sri Deish, it's not necessary that he's planning, if he sees the beauty of Torah, to actually convert. If he comes to appreciate the beauty of Torah, and he'll have admiration for the beauty of Torah, and he'll admire those who follow Torah, he's not planning to commit at all. Then you'll have to teach him. Now that's a big step. Because you can sort of test a person's sincerity about why they want to convert. To an extent. You talk to them, and why do you want to convert, and tell them how hard it's going to be, and then the guy is still sincere. Okay. But how do you get the person's sincerity that if he sees the beauty of Torah, that he'll honor it and praise it? And I don't know. I don't quite understand the Sri Deish. Our assumption is that if it's taught properly, everybody should understand the beauty of Torah. If they're willing to. They want to see the beauty. If you want to see it, you'll see it. If you don't want to see it, you won't see it. Are you supposed to know? I don't know. It's almost radical Sri Deish over here. Because he doesn't have to be willing to convert. And there's no interest, actually no intention at all, and it could still be fine. Source number 11 and 12 is based on 11. Comes up with the most commonly they asked a question about this whole Easter, and the thing that you will stumble across, or come across, well. The Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah tells the following. Shaul Proclus ben Kloklus. I don't know who he is, but he wasn't Jewish. So Proclus asked from Galmina Ba'akal, Shaul Yerokit Mavechet Shaul Afroditi. Afroditi. Aphrodite, who is the Greek, Roman Greek, Greek goddess of love? You need something. Okay. So Rabbi Gamliel was bathing in the bathhouse of Aphrodite. Aphrodite doesn't pronounce it. He's bathing because he wanted to get clean while he's that was the bathhouse in Ashkelon. It was the Roman bathhouse. So Amar Lo, so Proclus sent to Rabbi Gamliel, comes from the Talach and the Lehitak Yachom Umat and Acherim, he's supposed to stay away from all sources of Avodah Zarah. What are you doing in the bathhouse here? Everybody has the same question. I'm about any sheep in my bathhouse. I can't answer you. I'm in the bathhouse. Can't talk to her in the bathhouse. But when he left the bathhouse, I'm about when Daniel set the problems. I didn't come into her territory, she came into my territory. He says, the idol, the bathhouse wasn't built for the sake of the idol. The idol was placed there for the sake of the bathhouse. Meaning, we're not getting into another Meskachom over here, but this wasn't the bathhouse that was dedicated to Aphrodite. This was, it was a bathhouse. And what did they do? Afterwards, they're creating the statue of Aphrodite because it's beautiful as a bathhouse.
But it wasn't that whole bizarre beit house. It was a regular beit house, but they brought up all the zara into. Wasn't that a beit house built for all the zara? So the rap for another reason, in Nosulah, Maman Hari, he has a mitzvah, so when the zara shalom, all of them, I'll carry a masjid in banana. No matter how much, if you were a big believer in your Abu Zarah, no matter how much money they would pay you, you wouldn't walk into your house of Abu Zarah naked and start urinating there and relieving yourself, etc. You wouldn't do that. There's this statue of Aphrodite, and you know, in the bathhouse, there's also bathrooms. You know, people are making use of the toilets right there. So what do you see from here? You see that then it's not a matter of kabbalas for the Avodah Zarah. Lozemar Ella Elohim, their God, Hashanoi Banishim Eloah, Asa, Hashanoi Banishim Eloah Musa. If they don't treat it in a divine way, it's Musa. The answer is, nobody gave him an answer. What question should we have? Why do you want to teach him? Why do you want to teach him? He's starting dashing in the pasuk. Give him 2 reasons. Why do you want to teach him? Why do you want to tell him what? Francis G.A.H. towards 12 will be Ikar Hadin to Yirema Anil Tzadi. Shah Isa Ma'akum Ma'atom Vatora Hainu B'derek Kri. Set up a Kabbalistu with you with a non-Jew. And you'll sit and start teaching him Torah. That's awesome. We'll know Gufay Torah is throwing Shalom of the Iyun of the Ha'amakam. We'll sit and we'll learn. We'll learn Mishnah is this, and we'll learn Gemara that, and we'll learn the Ramban al HaTorah, and I'll be teaching my Parshanut paper, and all the things. That's awesome. Okay, now I'm not over by faith. He's not allowed to learn, I'm not allowed to teach. He does not talk to the Mekama. And the Nami Mishnah Lam del Gupay Torah, Chubashim Mepharshim, Talmud of Mepharshim. Chubashim Mepharshim, Talmud of Mepharshim. Avral lo zia lo zine Torah, but to teach him something, Torah la'airam v'or ha'emes Musa. To relax them, you're allowed. And it's based on this that the number of Rachrodim write that if a non-Jew asks the question, what are you allowed to do? You can answer the question. But, how do you answer the question? You answer the question to a, correctly, but on a somewhat superficial level. Meaning, somebody says to you, I don't know, what, I think Frankie and I were three guys picking up a cup of wine. So, what do you call it? Kids, what is it? You say certain words about the holiness of the Sabbath. Drink the wine. You're not supposed to start telling him, well, we have a dinner of Kiddush. Kiddush on Friday night is all right. Kiddush on Shabbos day is the Rabbana. Kiddush on Friday night, we learn from the Zelda, Shabbos, Shabbos, Lagacha. Now you have to make sure you have Kiddush Makam Suda. I just gave up a Shabbos this morning. There's that Kiddush Makam Suda. How do you have Kiddush Makam Suda? It's not one thing. You answer on the superficial. Usually that's all that they're interested in. Why do you wear the beanie on your head? It's a sign of respect to God. Why do you dress up? It's sort of a more modest kind of dress. You know, why do you do this? You answer on a superficial level, correctly. You don't tell them Bubamaitis. That's not it. Unless it's dangerous to tell them the real thing. You might have to do a couple of things you won't tell them too, because it's dangerous. But that's where it is either. And you will come across this many, many times. People will ask you all sorts of questions. So say, what's this business about kosher? So you don't tell them the rabbi has to bless them. This is what they think that. Can't your rabbi just bless the meat and everything would be fine? So that's not what you do. So you tell them we have certain dietary restrictions about different types of animals and the food has to be prepared in a certain way. You don't have to start getting into all sorts of halachos about the becholam and tamkiker and they just tell me the food, you know, we have certain dietary restrictions, the food has to be prepared in a certain way, some foods we don't need at all, and that's how the kosher restaurant, even the kosher foods have to be prepared in a certain manner, otherwise, dietary restrictions.
I feel like something that non-Jew will ask, for example, like a simple answer.
That's definitely true.
Somebody was asking me that they saw, like, in the video, the Chabad people walking around, people were asking them. And they're like, well, the guy in my class is like, oh,
I'm
four. And
I'm
like...
So you tell them, it's the holiday, we're in the middle of the holiday of Sukkot, and Bible says that we take four different things that grow. Four different species, right? And that's part of the way that we celebrate the holiday. Now, there may be a lot of things that you're worried that he's going to ask that they don't even care about. I mean, imagine, if you went to the average Christian on the street and said to him, I noticed, like, in December you bring a tree into your house. What is it? So he says, oh, because we're celebrating this holiday, and part of the holiday celebration is we have a tree. He's not prepared to answer, and therefore he won't even think about it. Why specifically a tree? Is there a specific height? Can use a tree hayashan? Can it be up with the baro tree? Does it have to be up to own the tree? Right? Is there a certain time that you can put it up? You can't put it up before that time. How long do you have to leave it up? Is there a certain room in the house it's allowed to be in? Can you have two trees? So you're not actually worried. He's going to say to you, why these four species? So these are four species mentioned in the Torah. Oh, for him, that's fine. You know, he's not going to start asking, but why not is an Esog and that? Usually, they usually are just interested in a superficial answer. Truthful, the superficial answer, and they're fine. The last source here is from Migas Moshe. He has a number of tshuvas on the same issue. But this is definitely something that comes up. Aside from a non-Jewish rescue question, this is the other issue that's very common. Ubidvar chag ha-Pesach, kishetavo ha-baita me-ha-yeshiva. There was a yeshiva boy who was going home for Pesach. V'kimsa sham gamet krovcha, one of your relatives is coming. Uncle Harry comes to the Seder. V'ishta. And Uncle Harry brings Aunt Christine with him. V'ishto shehinachut. Al pi adin. Not shehinachut al pi adin. I guess it means that, you know, she may have been converted in Reform conversion, but he said that she's not Jewish. V'ata tistach l'hagin et ha'gadu l'tagama k'nei l'zata t'tadicha v'imecha. The parents weren't so learned, the child went off to yeshiva. He wants to make a seder for his parents. Wonderful. But Christine is sitting there. And she's going to hear all of his great power about the Hagat and the Mitzrayim and Emuta Lefanecha. So are you allowed to do that? He may Pashad Laniyot, I think it's clear to me. Masha Amar Rabbi Yami B'chagigah that he's given Lemosin Divretor La'akom Udavka Kishek Havanosol Lemosol La'akom. It's only if your intention is to teach the non-Jew. Aval kishekavanat ha-lomei divrei Torah u-le-lomdam ba'atzmo u-le-mosam la-yehudim ha-nimtzayim sham. Your intention is to teach the Jews. Lo-nesa machmat sh-nimtza sham gam akum sh-gam k'nishma ha-mimim le-divrei Torah. You're not prohibited from teaching the Jews because there's a non-Jew who's there. So you can go ahead and you can teach it. Right? But your intention has to be to teach the Jews. Obviously, when Christine asks the question, so that goes back to the previous one. You can answer her question, just like if she stopped you on the street and asked you a question. But your intention has to be to teach the Jews. This was an issue that also came up, and I think, actually, I asked a motion about this. Rav Taitz Atal, the senior Rav Taitz from Elizabeth, as of you from Buria. No. So he had originally on the radio, he gave a daf shavua, not a daf yomi, but he used to teach daf shavua in Yiddish. And at some point he wanted to teach a daf shavua in English. And the issue came up, because in the daf shavua in Yiddish, presumably the only people who would be tuning in and listening would be people who spoke Yiddish, and that would essentially be true. But if he gives it in English, he has no control over who's going to turn it to WEVD. 1350 on your way, whatever it was. And listen, anybody can sing. If I remember correctly, I think he had some Russian. This is a Russian tshuva. Now, Thais wasn't interested in teaching non-Jews. He was interested in teaching all the Jews. Most of the people who would tune in would be Jewish. Some non-Jew might tune in. He has no That's not what he's there for, and he's not prohibited from teaching the Jews just because some non-Jew will listen. And therefore, this could also apply, in any setting when a person is speaking, and they're primarily he's there to teach the Jews. There happens to be non-Jews who are also there, so that he doesn't have to restrain from saying Divrei Torah because some non-Jew is sitting there in the audience, or even a number of non-Jews are sitting there.
In the
Shiva Bar
mentioned,
Right. It's very good. It happens a lot. I know that many years ago, we were still living in America. My wife was working as a home care nurse. I think she once had to give an in-service for some of the other nurses there who had no idea that when you deal with Jewish patients, to be aware of certain things, certain sensitivities. So, would you be allowed to do that? Presumably yes. The question is based on what? Now, the truth is, I'm not interested in them knowing Torah. I am interested in them being a little bit more sensitive to certain issues that would come up. For instance, there was a little bit of a scandal in Brooklyn about a month ago. There was a guy who was walking and he crossed on a red light or something. The police officer stopped him, wanted to give him a ticket. And he wanted him to sign, to get the sign, ticket. So there was a staff, he also didn't have any identification on him. So he told him, he lives 3 blocks away, if you want to come to his house, we'll show you all his identification. No, they threatened to arrest him if he doesn't sign. It was a big to-do. So afterwards, they had Masai Shabbos, you can't make it, the police, the whole. So part of the thing is that you should inform police officers, listen, Orthodox Jews will very often be walking in the streets, especially if you don't live with a neighbor, but even if with a neighbor, we carry a handkerchief and keys, you don't walk around with identification, because you don't walk around with your wallet. So they'd be walking around without identification, they're not allowed to sign, they're not allowed to this. You should be sensitive. In hospitals, at the admissions desk, people who come in, they may not be able to sign certain forms, they may not have certain money, that this arrangement should be made. All this, it's axiomatic that it's Mutter. I'm not quite sure based on what. Probably based on the fact that we're not trying to teach them Torah. We're just trying to have them be a little bit more sensitive to our needs. And therefore, it's for our purposes, not for their purposes.
So there's none of the problems you had in Kitchen Rachel because your intention wasn't
to be on
the trail.
Correct. Right. I didn't know at the time. That would have certainly been okay. Then she asked me a question, which I could have answered her anyway, but to top it off, she was in the middle of studying to convert. She mentioned to me which rabbi in Brooklyn she was studying under. She was in the process of studying to convert. And Midrash Rachel will take in students who are way into the process. There was the problem about this one student who wasn't at all interested, and then they would have accepted it to begin with.
Yeah.
So, again, according to the Meiri, that the 3DH quotes and source fan, in theory, you'd be allowed to. One of the things that, as we all know, we generally try to convince potential converts that they shouldn't convert. In other words, we're not interested in converts. They just can tell them that Shabbat is B'nai Noach and that's sufficient. It's not like in basic Christianity, if you don't believe in Jesus, you'll be destined to eternal damnation. We don't believe that. Like you can get your chelem in Olam Haba, it's just like Shabbat is B'nai Noach. So I think that's to illustrate. But if a person says, one or two questions, the person starts coming to you with 150 questions. shy away from a little bit. And you have stories. If you're in secular university, there are always some people who are very interested in Judaism. Some really nice girls, and they're just interested and curious. And they come, they start asking more and more, and they want to learn about it, etc. You know, you wonder sometimes, maybe they really are Jewish, and they just don't know, some Marano somewhere, who knows, you know, the mother's 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 mother, I don't know. But generally, you have to, you should shy away from it. Oh, the janitorial So, the thing about converting, you know, listen, it may not be your job to teach them all about the laws of Gaelic. Somebody has one or two questions, you know, you can give it to them.
For, like, a long time. Like, I
didn't
know what to do.
So, you can say, listen, you know, you can also come along and say, you know, I'm not an expert. And, you know, I think that if you have a lot of questions, one, you go speak to somebody on the rabbinical staff. It's going around my neck. Just say to listen, you know, it's okay to say, I don't know. And, you know, sometimes, sometimes you ask questions that, you know, get complicated. You don't know. You can say this, I'm not quite sure. I'm wondering about that myself. I really need to check on that. Yeah. In general, I would shy away from that. Depends. I mean, what's the purpose? Why? What? I wonder if he's like you.
There was a girl one year in Butner who was on the channel she really admired the way the girl dressed like after, and she went through like an entire process, and now in college, 3 years down the line, she was supposed to go to her dress to like.
Listen, at a point when you like somebody is really, really sincere. Okay. If you have a couple of more minutes or this is Parsha B'Shalach. So amongst the many things that occur, Parsha is the man that comes down from Shemayim. And towards the end of the Parsha of the man, the Torah tells us in Perek Tzadzayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Kach Tzimtzemet Achat, take a vial of man, Tzen Shama Vlo Omer man, and place it before Hashem as a mishmeret, something to be guarded, and a reminder to Doroseichem. Kashativ Hashem Amosha v'yemichei Aaron v'yemichei Aidus la'mishmeret, and Aaron comes and he puts it in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and that's where it was kept, next to the Aram, the Luchos. Eventually Moshe Rabbeinu will write, that's where the man, the son of the man was placed. So it's similar to Rav Tan Zatzal, based on the Rabbeinu B'Chaya, says the following. He says, why is it so important to keep the man next to the Torah? Well, what's so symbolic about that? Man represents Parnassah. That's how we're going to make a living and survive. Rashi here quotes the Mechilta, which says that in the time of Yimyo is giving mitzvah to the people, how come they're not learning Torah? And they said, what are we supposed to do? We have to work and make a living. So if we spend time learning, we're not going to have time to make a living. So Yimyo, I guess the Rasha, went and took out the Tzimtzemet man and he showed them the man. And he says, look, you follow Hashem's will, Hashem could provide for
a couple of million people for 40 years without a single person having to plow or plan or anything. He blew up at his father's will and he forgot. Money up his time now. Why is the man next to the luchos? Since Rafam, when a person is looking for a way to be mefinance himself, he should try as much as possible to make sure that his way of parnasa is compatible with the way of Torah. And I'm not talking about that a person will make his parnasa from violating, like working on Shabbos or something. No. But the lifestyle that his parnasa will demand will be a lifestyle that's really in consonance with what the Torah is about. There are many, many opportunities that are out there. All sorts of different careers, and all sorts of variations of different careers. There are many factors that people take into account. Things that people enjoy, and things that give a certain amount of prestige, and things that pay a certain amount of money, and things that the job availability, and all sorts of different factors. And if you're involved in it, you know, sometimes it can drive you crazy. You know, every other day you're going to do something else with your life. Kind of thing. You're still not sure what you want to do. It's very important. The Bible says you have to come along and don't forget the key question, which is how much is this compatible with this person? It's a certain job. Is he giving time to learn Torah or won't give him time? Is it going to be a job that he's going to be, you know, so involved that he has no time to learn? Or it's the kind of job that will give him time to learn Torah? Does it give the job something? Does it give the woman time to be with her family? Or is it something that's just all-encompassing and the Guatemalan maid is going to raise her kids? I remember last year, one of the alumni from a while back came to visit. She was married. So I asked her, what are you doing? I said, she's actually in between jobs. She went back to graduate school. So what had she been doing? She was working in a certain job. I said, oh, you didn't like the job? She didn't like it a lot. I said, thanks so much. I was paying a lot. So you like the job, paying a lot. You tired? No. Wasn't tired. She really liked it. So I said, what? She's switching to a job that was going to, a career that was going to pay much less, much less. And certainly from the outside perspective, it certainly didn't seem as exciting. Why are you switching? She said, in my job, I would leave the house about 7 o'clock in the morning and come back at 10 o'clock at night. I think those are the hours. She said, no money. No way to raise a family. And I gave a tremendous amount of credit. It's not easy stopping in mid tracks and saying, what am I doing? This is not what's really important. She was making a lot of money. And what she was switching to, she wouldn't be making so much money. But she was retraining a little bit. And it was going to be a job that had much more normal hours, much more time to be at home. That's not shame to spend with her family. And that's something that we learn from the Mon. One needs to be near the Torah, somehow or another. The kind of community and the atmosphere. You know, sometimes you can, there's a certain community, you can work in a Jewish organization, or you can do the same kind of work in some sort of general organization. And it may be that the other one pays a lot more. What's the atmosphere like? I remember that Rabbi Isaacson, he used to be a lawyer. And he came to Israel, and he first came to Israel, so he was sitting and learning for a couple of years. In the kollel of the Maseret Tefillah. So his first summer, after they came in Aliyah, he went back to the States, and he went back to work in his old law firm. So I asked him how it was, and he said, it was horrible. He walked in the first day, it was terrible. It was terrible. The language, the innuendos, the comments, it was horrible. I said, it had become so bad in 1 year. He was away for 1 year, 10 months. He said, Right, he was always like that. But he had spent the whole year learning with all the tzaddikim in the Meretz Kol in the Vaseret, you know, who are from the Daknik and Avat Lashon Hara. And here he comes back and how long were you bothered by it? It was horrible. He said, 2 days later, it was like, get so used to it. And that's what's so scary. You just get used to it and you just think it's the norm. So, here's what happened to Kemash Shishim. So not everybody can become Rosh Hashanah, but we all have to think about what kind of parnassah we want to do, and there are many factors, but the Sefer Haman should always be near Torah.